Okay, sermon time.
Sermon time.
Coming up low. Coming up low. All right, we're good. All right, so we usually do our highlights for the week. One highlight is Noe's here. We love Noe. Woo! All right. We had our Daniel class down there. Yeah.
Yes,
John. Is that anybody we know other than me?
There's Josh.
Okay, good. Yeah. And we had our game night. I don't know exactly what's going on here. I see Josh. Josh doing that. You'll guys have to explain that later. That's an interesting thing there. All right, we're in the book of Judges. Okay. And there are several themes. One of the themes of Judges is, interestingly, not God's judgment, but is discipline. In fact, one of the surprises of Judges is that God doesn't judge, at least not in Judges. So we'll see God's discipline. We'll see God's patience and his mercy. OMG. Is that right? Yeah. His patience and mercy with Gideon today is crazy stuff. We see our need for a savior, for God's salvation, and the need for godly leadership. All of those themes are definitely found in today's story. Theme passages, the negative side. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone he did as he saw fit. We do a thumbs up or a thumbs down for that. That's not good. Because when Israel has no leader, then everybody does as they see fit, which is natural. And then all kinds of bad stuff starts happening. But on the positive side from our lesson last week, we saw in Deborah's song, when the prince of Israel take the lead and the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. That's kind of the opposite, okay? So there's this pattern. It's a repeating pattern that happens again and again. All right? So basically, God has blessed his people. He put them in the promised land. He gave them Joshua. He saved them from Egypt. They should have been grateful forever. But the people forgot. They became rebellious. They went after the idols. They rebelled and they sinned. And out of love, is there anger there on God's part? Probably so, because God is a jealous God. But his mercy and his patience went out over his judgment. So he sends them discipline, as we'll see. The Moabites, the Canaanites, and today the Midianites. And the people are suffering greatly. Why? Because they've been unfaithful and God lovingly disciplines them, because that's what a loving parent does. Read Hebrews 12 and you'll see that. And then they cry out for mercy and God sends them a Messiah prefigure, a judge, a leader to save them. And then that leader dies and it's rinse and repeat, right? Last week we saw Deborah. Actually, we saw Ehud and Deborah, two of the judges. Israel sinned. God sent this is disciplined by sending the Moabites. And he freed them through Ehud, who took out Eglon. That's an interesting story, right? I had that picture. I decided not to use that picture again. That picture was probably hard to watch last Sunday anyway. All right. So we have Ehud, judge, leader of God's people and savior of the people. And Israel had peace for 80 years. But when Ehud died, people began to return to idolatry. So God sent them discipline again. This time it was the Canaanites. This time it was the people that were in the land that they'd failed to drive out as God had told them to do. And the Canaanites have 900 iron chariots. So I was watching a couple minutes of England playing Curacao today in the
Germany.
I just think no.
Yeah.
All right. Either way, it was a joke. I mean, it was like Curacao is like Israel and Germany is like the Canaanites. It was a joke. The Germans were just kicking it wherever they wanted. They were almost playing with the Curacaoan people. It was kind of sad to watch. It's kind of like that. But the people cried out, and God, there was no man willing to stand up. All right. What's his name? The general. Barak.
Yeah.
Barak should have, but he didn't. So God sent Deborah, prophet, judge, savior of Israel.
Amen.
I don't know. I'm kind of into that. That's really cool that happened in that way. Okay. And now we're in Judges chapter 6. And I'm afraid to say it. Oh yeah. Then we read in the Deborah song, right? When the prince of Israel take the lead, people willing loth themselves, praise the Lord. Verse 9. My heart is with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord. Okay. Judges 6. Let's get into today's lesson. Now, Judges 6, unfortunately, going to start with rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Okay? So, yes, sorry, Zane. Yeah, I wish God's people were always faithful. All right, and again, as you're reading the book of Judges, we learn a lot about God and we learn about us. And we are those people. We are the Israelites in the book of Judges, and we're not doing very well. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, verse 1, and and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Right, who are these Midianites? Well, first there were the Moabites who came from Moab, and then there were the Canaanites who were in the northern part of the land, and this time the Midianites. The Midianites are basically Bedouin people. They would be considered Arabs, if you will. And so they were unsettled people. And they came from the southeast, from the Arabian Peninsula. Okay? Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountain clefts, in caves, and in strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land. They ruined the crops all the way to Gaza. They did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor even donkeys.
Wow.
They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. No chariots, because nomads don't have chariots. They had camels. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that guess what they did? They decided, I think we need God. You know? You end up in jail, and you're like, help, God!
Yeah.
You end up in the drunk tank, and you go, help, God! You end up in divorce court, and you finally say, help, God. And God says, I was there the whole time. I could have come at any time. All right. They're hiding in caves. It was a terrible situation. They're starving. It's humiliating. And God, I mean, if I was God, I would have said, that's your problem. I mean, you created this situation. My mother used to say to me, you made your bed, now you lie in it. Anybody ever hear that expression? You made your bed, now you lie in it. That's what I would have done if I'd been God, but then I'm not a merciful, loving God like the God that we actually worship. All right? So, Judges 6, 7 through 10. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he said, hey, this is the sixth time. I'm tired of you. Too bad. Well, fourth time, I guess. Whatever it is. Okay. No, that's not what he said. He sent them a prophet. We don't know the name of this prophet. All we know is it was a prophet. could have been a female prophet for all we know. All right. Who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued from the hand of the Egyptians. I delivered you from the hands of your oppressors. I drove them out before you. I gave you their land. I said to you, I'm the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. Basically, God is saying to us this morning, what more could I have done? I mean, I really just, you know, I've given you the promised land, milk and honey. I saved you from your oppressors. You know, I sent Moses. He saved you from Pharaoh. You won great battles. And God says to us, I just want one thing from you. Just please love me. Right? That's all he's really asking. Right? Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Is that too much to ask?
No.
Is it too much to ask that you love God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength? Is that too much to ask? No, it's not too much to ask. It's perfectly reasonable. So the prophet basically preached to them and said, well, here's the problem. You haven't loved the Lord your God. You haven't practiced hesed, that covenant loyalty, which is what all God ever really wanted from them. And yet, we worshipped other gods. We worshipped our career, our relationships, or whatever it might be. You know, so here, it's easy to be critical of Israel because they're really a bunch of knuckleheads. I mean, seriously. It's not that hard to figure out. But that's you and that's me. All right? In Romans 3, it basically says we invented ways to sin. We too foolishly worshiped idols. All of us sitting here this morning have worshiped idols. And to some extent, even since becoming Christians, we've allowed idols into our lives. Because, at least symbolically, these people have already been saved. And they're already in a safe position there in the promised land. And they're doing these things. Like Adam and Eve, we said, no, a relationship with you, life in the garden is not enough for us. We want more. So they went after the gods of the Amorites and the Canaanites, and they foolishly chose not to drive them out of the land. You know, people never change. But guess what? God never changes either. And that's good news. Again, we learn a lot about God from Judges, and we learn a lot about us. All right? The book of Judges is not a super great compliment on us. Okay? It's not. There's other places in the Bible you get some encouragement, you know? And actually, there's some pretty cool encouragement in Judges chapter 6, actually. All right? Because the bottom line is, despite this, God loves us. Anybody who's a parent knows what this is about. Right? Anybody who's a parent, I mean, your kids they could drive you crazy. But do you stop loving them?
Nope.
No way. So God disciplined them. They cried out. What a great story, the story of Gideon. So let's read the story of Gideon, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under, Oprah. Right? We had Barak, right? Right? We already had Barak, right? And we had, what's his name? Elon. Yeah, we had Elon. We had Elon.
All these
we had Barak, and now we have Oprah.
Wow.
Yeah, Oprah.
All these famous people getting
their names. Yeah. I assume that Oprah's named after this. I assume it probably is the case. All right. Oh, no, the oak and Oprah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Mm. "Pardon me, my Lord." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Mm. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it.
Oh, I see.
Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us. He has given us into the hands of Midian. The Lord turned to him and he said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it really is you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." Oh my goodness. Gideon, a rather unlikely leader and judge of God's people, to say the least. All right? So, I get the sense that Gideon is relatively, maybe not a teenager, maybe in his 20s, something like that, relatively young. And he's hiding out. I mean, normally you don't thresh wheat in a wine press.
No.
All right? You know, you got the grinder and all that kind of stuff. They're hiding out. They're in a world of hurt. I wouldn't describe Gideon as a bold leader of God's people. I would say he's a fearful, weak, scared person threshing grain in a wine press. He's been in trouble. He had even had trouble with the law. You know, the world is not exactly cheering him on. The world's saying, "You're not even the top half. You're just, you know, you're lucky to even get by at all." But God says to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon says, "Who? Me? Yeah? Who, me? We met Oscar. He'd just gotten out of jail when we met him, pretty much, you know? And God called him, and now here he is. Who, me?
Woo.
Here, working for the church?
Yeah.
All right? Wow. Did they even do a security check before they hired me? Actually, we did. He stayed at our house for a while. Okay. Yeah. Me? Hanei, God is with you, mighty warrior.
Amen.
Good things come in small packages, you know what I'm saying? Oscar's mom. God is with you, mighty warrior. You're somewhat past middle age. But God is with you, mighty warrior. Right? Yeah. Michael. Woo. Feeling down lately. It's been a tough few weeks for Michael. He's not felt well.
Yeah.
Physically and even emotionally. But Michael, God is with you, mighty warrior.
Amen.
And Gideon, I love how Gideon is honest with God. Yeah, I would think if God was talking to me, I'd be like... So he says, "Where are all the wonders?" It reminds me of Malachi 1, where they said, "God is not loving us anymore." And God said, "I never stopped loving you." He said, "Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. God, I chose you. You're always my chosen people. The reason you're not getting blessed is because you're not loving me." I mean, this is not hard to figure out. You would think by round 3 or 4 the Jews would have kind of figured out why they're not having these amazing miracles they'd had in Egypt. He says, God has abandoned us. God has not abandoned them. In fact, God is, that's why they're suffering. It's because he hasn't abandoned them. And God says, I'm sort of putting in my own thoughts here. He says, I mean, weren't you there on Mount Ebal? Remember they said all those curses for not obeying? Curses for idolatry? And remember, this is not judgment. This is discipline. Either way, Gideon, God is with you, mighty warrior. Right? And Gideon says, excuse me, but did you know that the Abiezrites are the weakest clan in all of Manasseh? And I'm looking around. I'm not even buff. I'm kind of weak. I'm short or whatever his problem. Maybe not good looking. I don't know what it was that made him feel like he was literally the weakest of the members of the weakest clan in Manasseh. So God says to him, okay, fine. All right, true. True. There's some stuff. You know, who maybe you didn't come from the absolute top wealthy, educated, you know, everything handed to you on a silver platter family, okay? But he says, go in the strength that you have.
Amen.
Because what God has given you is enough.
Yep.
And what God gave Gideon is enough. And it turns out, Gideon is actually really talented. All right? Julio is talented.
Woo!
I'm telling you. And we're seeing it come out, even since we've known him, but there's a ways to go still.
We all have a ways to go.
Some of us more than others, you know, just because we're, it doesn't matter though. It doesn't matter. That's the whole point, right? Yeah. Go in the strength you have. All right? Alvin, do you have any strength at all?
Yeah.
All right, well then go in the strength you have. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. God has vision for you, Katie. God has vision for you. And he says, you got some pretty awesome strength. Katie, you've been through some tough stuff. We know that. You've been in some pretty bad places. But that's caused you to be strong. God is with you, mighty warrior. I'll be with you. Yeah, but. No, I'm with you. Yeah, but you don't understand, God. Yes, I do. I understand. I understand. And verse 17. Gideon is like, if now I have found favor in your eyes. In other words, God says, You found favor in my eyes, mighty warrior, go in the strength you have. And says, well, God, if that's actually true, you need to prove it to me. Isn't it Hebrews, what's it say in Hebrews 11, 1? What's it say? Faith is belief in things not yet seen. All right? And Gideon says, I won't believe it until I see it. Well, if that was the attitude Jan and I had, we definitely would not have come to Merced. We showed up and we had a mighty warrior just waiting. Well, he wasn't here yet, but he showed up within a few days.
Monica was here.
All right, Monica was here. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it says Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. Would we say Gideon believed God and was credited to him as righteousness? No, not really. No, not really. In fact, I would say not even close. You know, you may not be as strong as your neighbor. You may not even be as strong as somebody else in this room. But God says, go in the strength you have, and I will be with you. Oh, I skipped verse 16. It's right there in my outline. How could I skip that? The Lord answered, I will be with you. All right? Go in the strength you have, and I will be with you. That is enough. Let me say it again. Go in the strength you have, number one, and God says, and I will be with you. And that's enough. It's enough for God to do amazing things. All right, so Gideon says, yeah, but I need a sign. I need a sign. I would be tearing my hair out if I had some here. Jan gave me a nice little haircut. All right, let's read the next little section here. The Lord said, I will wait until you return. What a merciful, patient God.
Yeah.
Gideon went inside. He prepared a young goat from an ephah of flour. He made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and his broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. All right, so put the goat there and the bread, and then just pour a bunch of water on top of that. Who's that remind, what's that remind you of?
Elijah,
right? With the Mount Carmel, and he pours all the water on there. Because, you know, we want to, you know, if we're going to have a sign from God, we might as well make it be pretty convincing here. So this soaking wet, you ever have bread and accidentally gets into a thing of water, and it's like you pick it up, it's like, oh, gross, that's this, It's like that, mushy, yeah. It's like dulce de leche cake, whatever, tres leches cake, you know. It's kind of like that. Anyway. And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord, he touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of his staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas, Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. I mean, God does this amazing, incredible miracle, and Gideon should have said, amen, the Lord really is with me. Instead, he's like, oh, no. Not only is he weak, he's also timid and kind of a scaredy cat. Right? Scaredy cat. Why do they call it a scaredy cat? Why don't they call it a scaredy dog? I don't know. Okay.
I know, right?
Yeah, Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. Gideon, not quite. I really see God's grace here. All right, verse 25, here we go. But the Lord said to him, verse 23, peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die. If I was Lord, I said, Gideon, you're an idiot. Didn't you realize what I just did? Instead, God says, it's going to be cool, Gideon. I got your back. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there, and he called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it stands in Oprah of the Abiezrites. That same night, the Lord said to him, now here we're going to see, this is like big turn. Mm-hmm. Up till now, Gideon, total knucklehead, spiritual dope. I don't know what to call it. All right, but it's going to turn.
Yeah.
This is pretty good. All right. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal, wow, and cut down the Asherah. Notice whose altar this is. And cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you just cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants, and he did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, let me see, how far am I supposed to read? Okay, through Thursday. In the morning, when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished with the Asherah pole beside it, probably like charcoal at this point, cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. All right? So, Gideon, he starts to take action. I like that. Are you going to fault him for doing it at night? I'm not going to. I mean, Whose altar was he tearing down? Whose altar was he tearing down? His dad's altar. How much support do you think he has for this move amongst the Abiezrites? Like, none. So, I agree, you know, he's doing it a little sneakily, you know, but I say, no, I'm gonna just give him full credit. This is awesome. And he takes the altar to Baal, the god of fertility and the god of storms, and Asherah, which was the mother goddess. Yeah, there's a religion that kind of has another version of that. They worship, they made these wooden, like totem poles, basically female totem poles. They worship at that. He cut it down, and not only that, so he took the ruins of the altar to Baal, he built a new proper altar, and then he chopped up the Asherah pole, and kind of like Tim, you know, Tim's a really fire building kind of guy. And then he puts the bowl on top and he burned the Asherah pole. This is bold.
Yeah.
It tells me something. If you're going to be God's mighty warrior, first step is get rid of the idols.
Yes.
Don't just put them aside. Burn them.
Yes.
Destroy them. Erase that app. Okay? That inappropriate relationship, end it. Whatever it might be. Step one is getting rid of the idols, getting rid of the Asherahs and the Baals. It's shocking that Israelites would be worshiping Baal and Asherah within a generation or two, well, maybe three or four generations, of having been freed from Israel. It's shocking. But what else is new? Look around. All right? Religious compromise is everywhere you look. Now, luckily, the people, the Abiezrites, are going to say, praise the Lord. We finally have a spiritual man who's going to stand up for Jehovah. Thank you for laughing. That's not what's going to happen. Verse 28. In the morning, the people of the town got up, and there was Baal's altar demolished, the Asherah pole beside it cut down, the second bull sacrificed. They asked each other, who did this? When they carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The people of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son, he must die.
Wow.
Because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. You know what, if you're willing to stand out amongst sort of a wimpy, compromised, half-baked Christianity, and stand for real discipleship, don't count on a lot of people saying, good job.
Wow.
Don't count on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we were part of our church in San Diego many years ago, we got picketed. And it was from other churches in town picketed us, saying that we're too committed. We scared them. All right? Did that have anything to do with what we did? No. I mean, maybe. I guess. I mean, we're not perfect. Yeah. So these are Jewish friends. They're saying, if you're going to stand up, if you're going to say no idols, disciple, Jesus is Lord. If he's not Lord, he's not Savior. Right, if you're not willing to make him Lord, then you're not a disciple. And if you're not a disciple, you're not a candidate for baptism, in which case you're not saved. If you say that, don't count on people saying, thank you so much for pointing out my religious sort of half-hearted behavior there. Don't count on that happening. That's certainly not what happened here, to say the least. Okay? So, let's finish up. How am I doing here? All right. I can sneak in this last little section. Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal?" Joash, this is so cool. Joash, now whose idol was this?
His.
It was his.
Yeah.
But all right. Did the whole town come around?
No.
No! But who came around?
His father.
His father came around. So that's the thing. If you stand up for God, if you become the mighty warrior that God said you were, if you go in the strength that you have and you let, he's going with you, then there's going to be that 5 or 10%. There's going to be the Caesars. You're on campus. Caesar says, "Hey, I'm looking for somebody who's actually living this out. Can I join with you?" That's what happened here. Joash was not inclined naturally to go along. But Joash saw the boldness, the courage, the conviction. And he stood beside his son and says, "You guys are going to defend Baal and Ashtoreth?" Baal can defend himself. If he's even a god at all. All right?
I love that.
If Baal really is God, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerub-Baal. So from now on, instead of Gideon, he's Jerub-Baal. I like that. I hope someday they give me a nickname like Jerub-Baal. All right, Jerub-Baal, which means contends with Baal. Hope they call me Jerub Sin. Don't call me John anymore. Call me Jerub Sin. Contends with sin. Call me Jerub social media. Not all social media is bad. I don't know, but you know. Anyway. Pretty cool story. Reading on. All right, so he broke down Baal's altar, called him Jerub-Baal. To this day, saying Baal contends with him. Now, all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces. Now, once they hear that there's somebody standing up for Jehovah, these pagans say, "All right, we got to do something about that, right?" And other eastern peoples joined forces. They crossed over the Jordan. They camped in the Valley of Jezreel, basically the breadbasket of Israel. All right. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. So they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there's dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you've already said that you would, because you promised you would do it, but I don't believe it, so I need you to prove it to me, even though you said you would, because I'm not like Abraham, who, you know, God said it and he believed it, right? So, all right. So Gideon rose early the next morning, he squeezed the fleece, and he wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me." "Okay, Gideon, let me just make one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew." And God actually did it. That's amazing. That's ridiculous. Can you believe it? That night, God did so, only the fleece was dry, and all the ground was covered with dew. By the way, this is not an advice that you should put the Lord your God to the test. People say, "Well, if God really wants me to have the job, he'll open a door." I hear them say that. Where does it say that in the Bible? If God wants you to have, or if God doesn't want me to, you know, steal from people, if God doesn't want me to go to this pornographic website, he'll close the door maybe. I don't know. Maybe the power will go out or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. I'd say a better way to make godly decisions is to consult the scripture, apply biblical principles, seek godly advice and pray to God for wisdom. And then once you do that, I'd say what you ought to do is pretty obvious. Just go ahead and do it. So let's not imitate Gideon here. So we see Gideon, you know, not exactly the Hollywood version of a hero. And not even, I would say, the biblical ideal of what a hero should be like. That'd be more like, say, Joshua, but certainly not Gideon. But that's okay, because that encourages me. So, to summarize, and by the way, we're going to finish the story of Gideon next week. We just got halfway through. Yeah, got more to go. So God will discipline us when we trust in idols rather than Him. All right? At some point, He might even judge. But let's just help out God out there, okay? God will discipline us, and don't be surprised. And we have such a loving, patient, merciful God that when we cry out for help, He's probably going to answer. He's probably going to answer, and He's going to come, and He's going to save. And God's going to use some very unlikely people to do great things. People who are from the weakest tribe, the weakest member of the weakest tribe, God can do great things. Because really what we need is, for a mighty warrior, we need to go in the strength that we have, and the Lord will go before us. So when God calls us to take action, He will be with us, and we should go in the strength that we have. So that's our sermon. The Abiezrites, that's right.
Okay. Time for another song. This